Well, good evening. Good to be with you tonight, and grateful that we have another opportunity to open God's Word and study from it. Appreciate so much the reading that was given to us just a moment ago by our brother Dave. Appreciate that so much. The thought or the verse that we'll be running with tonight is found in verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 4, where it says this, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever bright until the perfect day." And so definitely this is what we want to model our life after as Christians. We want our lives to shine in such a way that it affects positively those around us. Now, right from the very start, we need to contemplate and ask ourselves the question, is that how we're living our life? When one looks at us and observes the life that we are living, can they truly see Christ living in us? If you haven't caught a theme over the last 2 weeks, it's this very principle that we find right here. It's more than just saying, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. It's reaching out in our lives in such a way that our faith touches those around us. And so my call for the last 2 weeks has been for us to live the life that God has called us to live, in such a way that it affects positively those around us. I've been around some Christians before that have been very much stood for truth, but have done so in a wrong way. Been very harsh with the words, the way they've carried themselves, and all they've really done with those people around them, especially those that are Christians, has pushed them away. We need to live in such a way that we are the salt of the earth, that we are the drawing light, that people want to come towards us instead of repelling and pushing people away. Remember we talked about magnets? We did that for a reason, right? People should be drawn to us by how we live our lives, the way we talk, the way we think, the way that we interact. All of those different principles that we've been talking about in the last 2 weeks. And so it comes down to this very principle and this very idea. We have a choice in life. There are two choices that we can make. One, we can choose to walk the wicked walk. Or we can choose, as we're talking about tonight, the path of the just, the path of the righteous. Now I'm here to tell you that the first is very easy for all of us to do. We can take the path of the wicked with no effort at all. Satan's there, as was prayed about just a second ago. He's trying to pull us down that road. We've got friends that live in the world that try to pull us down that road. Oh, come on, it's just one service. It's just one word. It's one bad joke. We've got friends that we call our friends that live in the world that will pull us that way. But I'm here to say that the path of the just is not a path that's easy. It's a path that takes much forethought. It takes a lot of praying for, a lot of meditation, and a lot of purposeful living and choices. You don't just end up on the righteous path by a shake of the dice. It's a path that we choose. We choose to live. And so each hour, each day, each month, each year begins a new life and a new journey for us. Right now, 10 minutes from now, there'll be choices that you would have had to make in between now and the next 10 minutes. You know what some of those choices are? If we're going to listen or not. Hopefully you have not chosen already not to listen. Hopefully you're still in that 10 minutes. Hopefully I've appealed to you enough this evening already that you are choosing to listen to this lesson. But you will make you'll make several choices before this lesson's over. And I hope that they're all positive choices that you make. As long as you're allowed to live on this side of eternity, whatever the next hour, days, months hold for you, it's life's journey. And it has its ups and its downs. It's filled with some of the greatest blessings that God can bestow upon us. You know, you go back several months ago, and standing in the rain wasn't an exciting thing for me. But I found myself letting the chickens in last night and standing in the rain for just a little bit, enjoying God's beautiful rain. And I appreciate the prayer that was uttered. It's not Mother Nature that provides that rain for us. It's God. And we need to be grateful for it. God blesses us in so many different ways. But we also know God blesses and He takes away, right? We'll experience the hardships in this life as well. There'll be challenges that come our way again. When those challenges come, which path will you choose? Where will you set your course? What determination will you lean upon? And that's what Proverbs does for us. It gives us a serious point for us to think about. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever bright onto the perfect day. So we want to start by simply looking at a couple of quick points. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this slide because we've talked about a few of these things already in the last 2 weeks. But the character that's described for us in Proverbs, this individual that is on the path of righteousness, it describes his character just a little bit for us. He's in the right state. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, as we talked about this morning, teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us, right? And glory be to God, as we have already done this morning, we'll do in just a little while. We remember the death of Christ, the sacrifice that was made for us, and the hope that we find through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can, if we choose, to be in this life in the right state with our God. He's provided that for us. We also find, dealing with the individual that's on the righteous path, he has the right principles as well. I'll tell you right now, if our principles don't line up with God's, it's only a matter of time before we fall short of pleasing our Lord in heaven. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's just turn over there just very quickly and read a couple of verses there. This great plea for us in these set of verses is to put off concerning the former conduct, that former life that we once committed ourselves to. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22, it says this. Actually, let's back up just a little bit. Let's begin in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. We're going to talk about the idea of dark and light tonight. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Goes on to say in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness. And then it says this, with greediness. But you have not learned so. Did you catch that? This is not what was taught. This is not how God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to stretch ourselves, stretch our faith, and live in such a way that it brings glory and honor to God. He goes on to say in verse 21, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. We talked about truth this morning. That you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, we've mentioned that last week. That you put off, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. And here it is, in true righteousness and holiness. And then it goes on and talks about us putting off lying, let each one of us speak truth with one another. And so here again, we find this principle set in life that no matter what comes our way, that old man is going to remain just that, old. He's done away with. We've buried that old man. And we're committed to living, as it states for us in verse 24, that we put on this new man that was created, as it mentions for us, according to God. According to God. And so the principle that we live by is not by our own principles, not by what we want, but by the principle of God. The one that is on the righteous path is one that lives with godly principles. Right? And so that poses a dilemma for us. Do we live with godly principles? The next choice that you have to make, do you consider it? Remember we used to wear those wristbands? What would Jesus do? With each decision and each choice that you have to make, do you stop and think about that? how is this choice going to affect my relationship with my God? I'll tell you, if we approach every decision we have to make in that light, 9 times out of 10, the right answer is going to come to us. Then it falls on us. Which one will we commit to doing? Right? What principle do you live by? What about practice? Think about that as well. It's not just committing in our minds that we're going to do something, but it's actually doing it, right? The correct principle, committing to that principle with practice, living it out in our life and being solid and being true, being unwavering and being honest. I'll tell you, honesty is not a popular thing anymore today. And living with any kind of solid backbone is definitely not something that we see a whole lot today. I don't want to get political in any way. I just want to bring up this point about being solid. At the Colts game, our vice president walked out because some players were kneeling on the field. Do you think he's going to take some rap over that? Absolutely. There are going to be some consequences that come with that. But he is standing with principle. He is standing in what he believes. I'll tell you right now, the person that is just and is walking on the just path is the very person that will be solid, will be true, will live in the right state, and that is relationship with God, the right principles, and committed to doing what God has asked them to do. All of these things revolve around character. If our character is corrupt, there's no way that we will remain on that good and righteous path. Let me ask you a question before we move to the next slide. How many of us want to be on the path of the just? It's a rhetorical question, isn't it? I see Brother Dave looks at me like always. He puts his hand up. Yes, that's me. I want to do that, right? Commit ourselves to doing that. God tells us if we seek Him, He shall be found. And so seek Him. As we talked about this morning, remember the pearl of great price? Stick to this. Follow it. Practice it. Live it. And then you'll be on that right path. And then have these characteristics about you, and things will go well for you as far as pleasing your God. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't suffer consequences, as I mentioned just a second ago. Being on this right path, being on the path of righteousness, will often cause us hardships in this world. Do you know why that is? Why do you think being on the righteous path might cause you hardships with people in this world? Light and darkness don't mix, do they? It doesn't happen. And so as you choose to walk this righteous life, there's a good chance that you are going to suffer for this life that you are committed to living. I will also say this. You choose to commit your life to walking on the righteous path, you're also going to receive some blessings. And it won't be just in heaven. You're going to have brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to walk with you and are going to look up to you as you walk this path. So there are many blessings that happen as we build this character within us so others can see our good works. And again, it's not for us to get the praise, but that we might be able to lead somebody to Christ. Okay, go back to our text in Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to pull out a point that we find listed in that verse for us that I find pretty interesting. So we've talked about the path of the just. I want to take that next little sentence there. Is like the shining sun. It's like the shining sun. I think all of us understand and appreciate that this was exhibited in the life of Christ. This idea of shining with bright light, being the salt of the earth and being this bright light, was demonstrated by Christ day in and day out. Think about this for just a second. What if your life consisted constantly, almost every day, with people coming up to try and trip you up and trick you into doing wrong? How would you feel? How would life be for you? I know how I would be. I would probably get up in the morning, many mornings, and say, you know what? I'm not doing it today. I'm just staying right here where I'm at. I'm tired. People always trying to trip me up, trying to trick me, trying to get me to do wrong. That was Jesus. Day in and day out, He interacted with people that often challenged Him, challenged His relationship with God, questioned who He was, and tried to trip Him up constantly. But even in all of that, Christ let His light shine. I don't know if you've stopped to think about this. Look in 1 Thessalonians for just a second. And by no means, I mentioned this morning, and I'm being real with it. I'm not a deep person. I'm far from that. And so I say that jokingly, tongue in cheek. I know you've thought about this point, no doubt about it. You've probably thought about it many times. But look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 12, let's just begin there, verse 12. I want to really focus on verse 13. That you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Again, this idea of walking worthy to God is not a new thought, not a new principle. We've read that before. We looked at it last week in the morning and the night. I believe 3 weeks ago we talked about this idea of walking worthy before God. We talked about it this morning, giving our lives completely to Him, right? Walking worthy towards God. Not worthy as far as what you think is right and what is good, but walking worthy towards God. That's important for us. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed Him not as the word of God, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in those who believe." Do you know something? We have been marked and specified and appointed for a very special purpose. And we find that in the Word of God. God blessed us with the Word of God. And as a child of God, we have been marked, we have been specified, and we've been appointed to a special task and a special responsibility, and that's that we might shine as lights in this dark world. And so I want to get to the text and just talk about it for just a moment. I like what Jeremiah chapter 10 has to say. Jeremiah chapter 10 and in verse 23 where it says this, "O Lord, I know the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." I don't know if we've stopped to think about this long and hard. When we are faced with a challenge, pray to God. Ask Him for a door. Ask Him for wisdom. And then get busy looking for it. There was some time ago, one of my friends was looking for a job. And several of my friends on Facebook, we were looking as well. And we were sending a post after post after post after post with jobs. All of these jobs paying very well. And some of them, where some of us that were posting these, had really strong inside connections. And so it was just a matter of this person making a phone call. And so I sent him the message, "Have you called any of these places?" And guess what his response was? "I'm waiting for God to show me the way." God's opened doors. He's given you friends to do the legwork for you. You know, it comes a time where we quit praying and we get busy. Even Jesus in the garden, what did He do? He prayed. But when it was time to stop praying, what did He do? He got up and said, "It is time." Right? It is time. And so pray to God. Ask for help. Understand that the choices you make ought not to be considered, and considering these choices, just by what you want, but what God wants. What's going to benefit Him and the kingdom? Okay, let's look at this divine path. He wants to direct our steps. The question is, will we let Him direct our steps? That's what Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 teaches us. God tells us it's not in you to direct your path. So if it's not in us, surely this loving God is going to supply a way for us and a path for us to take. And that path we're talking about is the path of righteousness. If we seek Him, He shall be found. If we turn to Him, He will provide. Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that as a Christian? Seek Him. If you're struggling in your life, seek Him. And He'll make a way. He'll provide by His divine path. This path that we're talking about is visible. I mentioned this just a second ago. In the Sermon on the Mount, we mentioned it this morning. I want to turn back there for just a second. I've quoted it a few times. I want to read it for us. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how then shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill and cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. This path that we are on as the righteous is the divine path. God makes this path. He determines this path. But this path is very much a visible path. It's not to be a hidden life that we live, but we live this life openly for all to see. It's a beautiful path. I think about this when we look at somebody that is living this Christian life. What does that do for us? Does it not supply strength, encouragement for us? I think of some of the pillars in this local congregation, some of the ones that are aged and have a lot of years on them. And the example that they have and they set day in and day out. I know one of those people I look for is Sister Mary. And I know she struggles and she's here, and it sets such a wonderful example for me. It's a beautiful life when somebody is committed completely to living in accordance with God's life. They might not say a whole lot, but you sure see a whole lot, don't you? They set a powerful example for us. It's a beautiful path. The world sees that. They know this path is different. They long for it, but for some reason or another, they choose to continue to live on the path that they live. Don't lower your standards. Hold to this path. Live the life that God has called you. And maybe sometime down the road, as you're on this beautiful path, a few of those people along the way will join you. It's a beautiful thing to watch somebody turn from this world and turn in relationship with God, place their trust in Him, and become part of the family. This path is also a useful path. Did you notice that in Matthew chapter 5? And in verse 13, for you are the salt of the earth. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like salt? I do. I'll tell you what I don't do when it's mealtime is let the salt sit on top of the stove. It's no good over there, is it? Salt has a purpose. And so do you. And so we can't say we're a Christian and not live the life. We can't separate ourselves from the world and expect to have influence and serve the purpose that God called us for. We are the salt of the earth. And so we have to be in the world, not part of the world, but we have to be in the world in order for the salt to do what its intended purpose is. That's you, that's me. This path is useful if we stay on it. It's a progressive path as well. More and more we learn, we're not satisfied. Our course and our aim in this life is to grow more in knowledge, grow more in joy, and grow more in ability. Isn't that exactly what we studied just recently in our adult studies in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18, where it says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Listen, if we are on this righteous path, we're on that path because we choose to be on that path, and we're on that path and remain on that path because we're growing. I've heard a preacher say this, and I believe it. If you're not growing, then you're what? You're dying. That's what's happening. If you're not growing, you're dying. And so to be on this path, it's a path that progresses. It's a path that causes us to reach for more. And who knows how long we have on this side of eternity. So while we're on this path, stretch ourselves, grow our faith. Grow our abilities. Grow our joy. Be like that newborn babe that desires the pure milk, that they may grow thereby. The only way to develop is to grow. And I hope you're doing that in your life. I hope that that's a main point in your life. One thing I've come to appreciate in this life, when we look at something, we only see the dawning of things. Do you know that? Recently, I had some friends that were in Hawaii, and they post some pictures, as they were sitting on the beach and the sun was rising and it was a beautiful rising of the sun and they were sitting there and they were watching this and they just said it was beautiful. It was breathtaking. Those of you that are early birds, I guess we could say, right? I always get that moment. I almost said early worm. The early bird, right? You see that on a daily basis. Have you ever stopped to think about that? That's how we view life often? We just see the start of it. That's the totality. We live 90 years in this life. All we've really experienced is just a little bit of the sun coming up. There's so much more for us. There's more than this world, and we have to remember that as we live our lives. And so shine bright. Shine. Be that bright light. Be the salt of this earth. Grow it. Live like God intends you to live. And eventually we'll be in that eternal bliss with God where there's no afternoon, there's no tiring, and there's no end. I'll tell you, there's a lot to this, and hopefully we're grasping it this evening. In Proverbs chapter 4 and 18 and 19, we're going to close out with this morning very quickly. Someone says, I'll probably believe that when Neil sits down. But Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19, it simply says this again, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever bright unto the perfect day. In verse 19, and the way of the wicked is darkness. Did you catch the comparison there, right? Verse 18, the path of the just is like the bright sun, right? As the sun comes up and the sun goes down, God determines the boundaries of that sun rising and setting, right? And although it changes a different degree throughout the day, through the seasons, God determines when it comes up and when it goes down. It determines the boundaries, just like God determines the path of the righteous, right? That's what we've gotten so far as we've looked at this, right? And this light, this path that we're on is to be the bright path where ones look at us and they're affected by it. Now, verse 19 is the opposite. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. You ever been that way? I tell you, you walk around in my house at night, you're asking to fall. There are toys everywhere. And I'll tell you, I've fallen a few times. And you get up, you turn the light on, and you look over to see what made you fall, and there's 15 toys there, and you don't know which one made you fall. One of them did, but you don't know, because it was dark. You see, that's how this world is it not? Darkness is opposed to the path of light. It attacks it on a daily basis. I don't say this like we're the only generation that's ever suffered this, but we as Christians are under attack today. Our principles, our way of life is under attack. What are we going to do? We're going to give in? I mentioned this before in Bloomington, speaking about homosexuality and speaking out against it. And one of our college students said, what's the point? It's going to happen. Quit fighting it. Is that the way we want to live our lives as Christians? What's the point? This world is crooked. It's awful. What's the point? Well, when we commit ourselves to thinking and acting like that, we're going against the very principles that God set. Look in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 22. I want to read a verse over there just very quickly for you. It describes so eloquently this path of darkness. Notice it in verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 8. And then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Do you know what ends up happening? As has happened to me many times, as I trip over one thing in the dark, guess what I end up hitting as well? Something else. Right? Try to catch your balance, and you end up hitting something else. That's the way of the unrighteous. It's opposed to the path of light. And we need to realize that. That's what's given to us here. A son is given. That's the whole premise of Isaiah chapter 8 and chapter 9. A son is given that we might live with hope. But when we choose to walk in darkness, we can't even see the way that we are going. Right? When we are committed to doing what we want, even sometimes when the light is shown, we refuse to accept it. We can't see the obstacles. We trip, we fall, we make our life a mess, and often affect those that are in our circle of influence. Darkness is given to us as ignorance. That's what it's displayed as. Remember the text we read in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 18? It's described to us as the way of ignorance. I look at this world and I see a lot of ignorant things and people, things going on, and people that are committed to these ignorant ways. And it saddens me. It saddens me deeply. And I hope it saddens you as well. I hope that as you look at the world and you turn the news on and you see all these awful things, people kneeling and all the different junk that's going on in this world and in society today, that it sparks in you a renewal to live in accordance with God's will. I'll tell you what, with all the junk that's going on, I see wonderful opportunities for us as Christians to let our light shine. People are getting fed up with what they're seeing. And they want something different. And so if there's ever a time, which that's always the case, but if there's ever a time for we as Christians to stand up and be uniquely different, that time is now. God will provide opportunities for us that we could never imagine. The darkness, those that live in darkness, are ignorant to the way of the righteous. And it's our responsibility to let them see a different way. I think one of the other things that's described with the ways of darkness is what we find in Ephesians chapter 2. It's interesting, as you get around, you start talking, I'm not the only one, I'm not putting myself up there. I know you as Christians have been actively involved with your faith. You sit down and you talk to people and you begin to talk to them about the life that they're living and the mess that they're in, and it's inevitable. Eventually in that conversation, we begin to sense that they are feeling guilty and ashamed for the life that they're living, right? Well, that's not a conclusion we've just solely and completely come up with on our own. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses to sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. Goes on to say in verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he had made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then it tells us that he raises us up out of the muck and the mire. Now you talk with anybody long enough and this verse begins to resonate in your mind. That was once us. We were once given to that lifestyle. How did you feel? How do you feel now that you're in the light, looking back on some of the decisions, the awful decisions you've made in your life? If you're like me, you look back on some of those decisions and you wish, you long that you could go back and change things. I wish I could do this over, right? I wish I could have a redo. You know, we used to play that with football in middle school. You know, you redo, everybody line back up, right? We can't do that with life. We've done it. And we feel bad about doing it. And we need to remember that as Christians, as we're across face to face from somebody who's caught in the filth and the muck and the mire, who's made bad decisions, we need to understand that that was once us. And they feel bad. They want something different. They want to change their life. Far be it from us coming across proud and haughty. The way of darkness is a way of guilt. And if not careful, that guilt can overtake us in a hurry. We need to remember that about the dark side. The dark side also is a way of poverty. Spiritual poverty. We looked at that this morning. We want to be rich in God, we have to humble ourselves. But being full of ourselves, I told the kids this recently, can't remember which one of them, I think it was Isabel, pride goes before the fall. I said, Isabel, you ever heard that? No, I haven't. Well, I know you've seen it several times in your home with me, right? Pride. We get filled with pride. We allow that to overtake us. will be brought low. And hopefully it's on this side of eternity and not in judgment. Be filled with a humble spirit. Don't allow yourself to be taken by the dark side into poverty. We've all heard this. I found this. I'm going to really close up and sum up this lesson this evening with this little line. And it simply says this. Those of you that are older, I know you've heard this before. You probably used this before. Sin takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. Isn't that so true? We need to understand that and believe that. And more importantly, realize that as we live our lives. Sin will always cost us more than we want to spend. And so, I hope this evening, as we've talked about the way of the righteous, this righteous path, that you've got a dilemma on your hands. Hopefully there's no dilemma at all. Hopefully you're on the righteous path. And hopefully you're committed to staying there. I hope that's you tonight. But maybe you're at the crossroads. Maybe there are situations in your life that are challenging your faith, and I hope tonight serves as an encouragement to you to keep doing the righteous things and keep yourself on that righteous path. Choose this day whom you will serve. And I hope that you prepared your mind yesterday for the choosing of today. Hopefully that makes sense. It does to me. I hope it does to you. Prepare your minds now before judgment comes to you and those hard choices have to be made. So personal question, which path are you traveling on? Is it the dark path, the path of sin, or is it the righteous path, the path that God wants you on and is doing everything He possibly can to get you on that path? I know what He's done. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. He was resurrected from the dead to give you hope and belief in Jesus Christ. And He continues day in and day out to provide blessings for you, to encourage you to stay on that righteous path. Are you here tonight as a Christian and you've stumbled from that path? You're not living as you ought to live. There's no more acceptable time for you to ask God for forgiveness than right here and right now. And I hope that you'll bow your head even as I'm talking and ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to help you get rid of the sin that's in your life. And then commit yourself to living the righteous life. And if you're here and not a Christian, we can change that. You can change that. Not we. You can change that all tonight. You have a choice. You always have a choice. And we hope and pray that you'll choose to repent of your life, to confess the name of Jesus Christ, and to allow us to baptize you tonight, that you might have your sins washed away, that you can start afresh right now on the path of righteousness. But the choice is yours. And we will pray for strength on your part for you to make the right decision. Won't we do that? Let's do that right now. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and then we'll be led in our final song. Let's pray. Our gracious, loving Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this day, Father. We're grateful for all the Scripture that we've looked at. We pray, Father, that the Scriptures will fall upon good and honest hearts. And if there was one here who is contemplating making their life right with You, we pray, Father, that You might grant them the courage that is needed to step out into the aisle tonight, to raise their hand, to make their request be made known, that they might become a child of God. And we pray, Father, that if there is someone here tonight that is a child of God, that has wandered from the path, who has chosen to leave this path, Father, that they'll understand that tonight, that they'll go to You, ask for forgiveness, Father, and if they would like us to pray with them tonight, we will do so with tender and humble hearts. Please, Father, help us to be who we should be and help us to impact each other in a positive way. For we pray this prayer through Your Son's blessed and holy name, Jesus the Christ, and amen. If we can help you anyway, won't you come to the front or raise your hand while we stand and while we sing.